Turn your Bibles to the book of Proverbs. If you need a Bible, get our men's attention. And I would say just camp out in the middle of Proverbs, somewhere around chapter 17, because we're going to be going to different verses, but you're kind of safe if you get in the middle of the book. You can go either way, either direction when I'm mentioning a verse. Today we're going to be talking about the matter of friendship. We're going to be considering a portrait of a true friend as we continue our series in the matter of the portraits of the wise, portraits through the book of Proverbs. Let's again bow in prayer. Father, we commit this time to you. We dare not move forward at all in proclaiming your word without your help. So may your Holy Spirit enable me. May your Holy Spirit open the eyes and ears of each one that is here. May we be attentive to your word, and may we respond to it and be willing to make changes that need to be changed. Father, thank you for your patience with us, for your love, for your forgiveness. And we just pray that you'd help us to be the kind of friends we ought to be to those around us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have an outline, I trust that you'll get that. You can see I've put an awful lot into it. Actually, a lot. The hard part was trying to figure out the acrostic to go with the word friend. That's tough, and we'll talk some more about that in a little bit. But I trust that it'll help you as we move our way through what a friend, what a true friend is. In one of Charles Schulz's comic strips, Good Old Charlie Brown pays one of his frequent visits to Lucy's 5-cent sidewalk psychiatric stand. With a look of complete dejection on his face, Charlie Brown goes to the would-be counselor. "And so I can't help it. I feel lonely. I feel depressed," said Charlie Brown. Lucy immediately jumps on him and uses this occasion to encourage Charlie. "This is ridiculous," she insists. "You should be ashamed of yourself, Charlie Brown. You've got the whole world to live in. There's beauty all around you. There are things to do, great things to be accomplished. No man treads the earth alone. We're all together, one generation taking up where the other generation has left off." Slowly, a smile comes across the face of Charlie Brown. "You're right, Lucy. You're right. You've made me see things differently. I realize now that I'm part of this world. I'm not alone. I have friends." Lucy quickly replies, "Name one of them." Here in the midst of providing advice, Lucy is not a very good friend. Sometimes I watch Charlie Brown specials, as I'm sure some of you do, and I find myself feeling so bad for Charlie Brown. Just once could he have success. And when he does, it's only short-lived. And then we're back to needing friends. He's so alone. Well, we all need friends, don't we? We have people all around us, but we still often feel all alone. David Jeremiah, in his commentary on Proverbs, did a nice job of pointing out that there are four levels of relationships that we all experience. I'll just mention them briefly to you. There's the contact friends, people that you pass on a daily basis, that you know well enough to say hi, and maybe even their name. That's a contact friend. Two, there's the casual friends, people that you know well enough to have a personal conversation with them about their family, about politics, well, maybe not about politics, but about sports or hobbies. So you know them as casual friends. There's a third group, that of close friends, neighbors, people that you talk to at church, people that you generally share common goals and values with. But then there's a fourth group, David Jeremiah points out, that of committed friends. These are the people that the book of Proverbs is encouraging us to have as our friends. And we're going to talk about that throughout this lesson, that it's a more committed relationship, not just a casual, but it's more where you can really develop a bond, an intimate relationship with. Every one of us needs a friend. God has designed us to have relationships, to live with relationships in mind. Friendships are an important part of His plan. In fact, that's why I believe as a part of why He designed the church, so that we could be a part of an organization, a living organization with Christ as the head, and where we can survive and thrive alongside one another, encourage one another, lift one another up. That's why all the one another's of Scripture. You cannot have or you cannot do the one another's unless you're with one another. Well, why have friends? Someone said, friends double our joy and divide our grief. It's someone to share life with. There's nothing quite so special as having a friend. You think about in your life, the people who have made the biggest difference in your life are usually not people that have the most money, the most credentials, or the most awards. They're usually the ones that are there caring in the trenches of life. Not the entertainer, not the professional athlete, but the teacher who spent time with you, the Sunday school teacher that pulled alongside you, or the close friend that was there during your difficult time in your life. There was a sign in a pizza place that said this, friends are the bacon bits in the salad bowl of life. I like bacon bits, and I like friends. Friends are God's way of taking care of us. Friends are God's way of showing His love. Friends are God in skin. Someone we can see, someone we can talk to, who has God's hands and feet. We are God's hands and feet. In spite of what your Facebook page may say about your number of friends, they're not all your committed, close friends. Most of them are contact friends or casual friends. And you can see it by if you make a post and they're gone, that was only a short-lived friendship. Throughout the book of Proverbs, we see there's an emphasis on being a good friend. And really that's the whole purpose of this particular message, is saying, we want to be a true friend to one another. Not just a casual contact, but someone who really cares and is involved in others' lives. And so the word friend is used quite frequently throughout this book. It's used a lot throughout the Word of God. And sometimes, or occasionally, the word companion or neighbor has that idea of friendship. We need to be smart. We need to be wise in selecting our friends. There's a lot of things that we can't control, but we are responsible for being in control and being under God's guidance when we choose our friends. Proverbs 13:20 says this, whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer. Proverbs 22:24 says, make no friendship with a man given to anger, nor go with a wrathful man. These verses are pointing out the need to stray from people who influence us for evil, but to hang around with those who are walking with God, who have the fear of the Lord in their life, and that will help us to be all that God wants us to be. So as we work through this particular message, I trust that all of our goal will be that we will be a true friend, as pointed out in the Word of God. So let's deal with some characteristics of a true friend. We'll follow down this acrostic, and hopefully you'll remember. An acrostic is for the purpose of memory, and so hopefully you'll remember some of these. Some of these are a stretch, but we're going to hopefully remember these, all right? The first one, faithful. A true friend is faithful. Another word we could use is loyal. Turn to Proverbs 17:17. Wonderful place to begin. During good times and bad times, whether in success or failure, a true friend will always be there. A true friend is faithful. A true friend is loyal. Notice Proverbs 17:17. A friend loves at all times. and a brother is born for adversity. The point of this particular verse is this, that your family members are supposed to stick with you. That's kind of their job to do that. But a friend is a person who chooses to be loyal, who chooses to be faithful, even to those who are not in their particular family. They take the time to know who you really are, warts and all, and do not walk away. A true friend is the one who remains when everyone else disappears. A true friend is the one whom you can vent with and not have the other person think less of you. They understand your heart and what you do, no matter how foolish, does not change what they know to be true. These are the people you can call in the middle of the night, though I encourage you to not do that too many times. And they will come, they will be there for you. Your friends are those who rally around in times of crisis. Someone has written, a friend is someone who knows you and loves you anyway. True friends are committed for the long haul. A true friend loves at all times, not just when the person is doing well, not what just when it meets their agenda to be your friend. I cannot tell you how many times that I've talked with people, counseled with people, who have been the victim of a fair-weather friend. They thought they had established a friendship. They thought it was so close, but then that person bailed out on them when the going got tough. A true friend, one who God wants to be our friends, is someone who's committed to the friendship, committed to the relationship for the long haul. Someone has also said, you can always tell a real friend when you've made a fool of yourself, he doesn't feel you've done a permanent job. Proverbs 18:24 says, a man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. The idea is, a man may have lots of contact friends or casual friends, but because his relationships lack depth, he eventually comes to ruin. So the key is, develop deeper relationships with others. I love this. One time there was a plaque hanging over the front desk at a country inn in England, and it reads this way. Please introduce yourself to your fellow guests, since we here at this inn are one big happy family. Nice, right? But then it goes on to say this. The management is not responsible for values left in your room. Again, isn't that something? We're all one big happy family. But watch yourself, because there's thieves around. A true friend is faithful and loyal. Second, a true friend is reliable. Reliable. Let me back up for just a moment. I want to mention this verse. Jot this down in your notes. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 and 10. It says this, two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their toil. But if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Again, showing the importance of having that faithful friend who is always there to help. Second, reliable. A true friend is reliable. Another word would be trustworthy. Reliable fits better with my acrostic. All right. Proverbs 11:13 says this, whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets, but he who is trustworthy in spirit keeps a thing covered. Proverbs 16:28, a dishonest man spreads strife, and a whisperer or a gossip separates close friends. Proverbs 26, and again, I know we're dealing with a lot of verses here, but follow along or read or listen. Proverbs 26, 18 and 19. Like a madman who throws firebrands, arrows, and death is the man who deceives his neighbor and says, I'm only joking. Proverbs 11:12 then says this, whoever belittles his neighbor, his friend, his companion, lacks sense. but a man of understanding remains silent. All of these verses teach what it means to be trustworthy or reliable. A true friend keeps confidences. He keeps what is entrusted to him and does not spread it all around. Instead, they love us and they want what's best for us. There's nothing better to have a friend who can be trusted and relied upon. Next, not only do we have a true friend who is faithful and reliable, but a true friend, this was a tough one, imitates Christ. Imitates Christ. And I have to jump to the New Testament for this one. We've read in our scripture earlier, John chapter 15 and verse 13, it says this, "Greater love has no one than this, than someone lay down his life for his friends." It's implied all through the New Testament and the Old Testament that a friend is willing to lay down his life. A friend is willing to sacrifice. And so thus, a friend, a true friend, imitates Christ because that was the very purpose by which he came, to sacrifice, to give of his life. This weekend, again, is a great reminder of those who were willing to sacrifice it all for our freedoms. Sacrifice is the ultimate example of intimate friendship. It's the ability to put another's needs, desires, and wishes above those of our own. I am greatly moved by those servicemen and women who are willing to be out there on the front lines, who are willing to fall on that grenade, who are willing to go out first and to take that bullet or take that grenade to save their friends. Again, we're talking about sacrifice, tremendous example of sacrifice. Sometimes I wonder, are we really willing to sacrifice of ourselves, of our finances, our time and talents for others? Are we willing to sacrifice our life for others? When we do, we are imitating Christ. The letter E. We have faithful, reliable, imitates Christ. E, encourages. Encourages. A true friend encourages you to grow. To grow. Proverbs 27:17. A short verse. Circle it, jot it down, write it out, put it on your mirror in your bathroom. It's fantastic. It says this, as iron sharpens iron, you probably could even finish it, so one man sharpens another. A true friend is not merely someone who flatters you and tells you what you want to hear. A true friend is one who is more concerned about your growth than about your ego. He wants to refine you rather than to flatter you. When you think about filing something, I think about the blade of a lawnmower. It's kind of a practical. We all understand, well, at least the men, some of you women as well that maybe mow the lawn as well, you understand how important it is to keep a sharp blade. Or if you've ever run a chainsaw, growing up and I've used a chainsaw and I've tried to do it when it's dull, and it's hard to do that. You know, when you sharpen the blade, it makes it more effective. And so I think the illustration is wonderful. It says, when you use a file to sharpen the blade of a lawnmower or the chain of a chainsaw, the tool becomes more useful in your hands. When a man sharpens his friend, his very countenance grows. It benefits. He benefits. The one who is sharpened by his friend through their relationship benefits from the interaction. And he actually becomes more useful and more of a blessing to others. I can't tell you the benefits of rubbing shoulders with another brother or sister. There's so many benefits to that. In fact, John Kitchen, in his commentary, it's called The Mentor's Commentary on the Book of Proverbs. And it's a wonderful little commentary. He writes this about this matter of encouragement and about sharpening one another. No man can be his best or reach the heights God intends for him without those blessed friends who comfort, provoke, challenge, rebuke, affirm, stimulate, and encourage until his thinking is clear, his wisdom mature, his purpose refined, and his facilities sharp. I think the point is there that just we are better off when we have a close friend who's willing to have a little bit of friction with us. That's what you have when you have a file on that chain or on that blade, but it makes us more useful for the cause of Christ. I wish I had more time, but the idea of, you look at the examples of Jonathan and David and how Jonathan pulled alongside David, and it tells us in particular in 1 Samuel 23:16, and Saul's son Jonathan went to David. He's running for his life. Jonathan's own father is trying to kill David, but Jonathan has befriended David. And it says, Saul's son Jonathan went to David at Horesh and helped him find strength in God. He encouraged him. He lifted him up. He said, keep on going. Don't give up. I am here with you. I support you. I am your friend. 1 Thessalonians talks about this matter of friendship all throughout as well. And it says this in 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Therefore, encourage one another. This is Paul writing to the Thessalonican believers. And he says, encourage one another and build each other up, just as, in fact, you are doing. So he's saying, keep it up. And I say to you at New Life, my friends here, keep it up. Those of you that are encouraging others and you have each other's best in mind, keep on doing it. That's a true friend. Well, we have faithful, reliable, imitates Christ, encourages or encouraging, and then we have the N for noble. I was actually coming up with the outline. I had the material, but I was coming up with the outline, and last night our night help came in there, and I was having a really tough time coming up with the N. I was thinking, not a liar, okay? You know, the idea is being truthful, being honest. And she goes, how about noble? And I'm going, yes, that's it. I like it. So I told her today that she was a part of my message today, that word she gave me. So noble, the idea of being truthful. A true friend is truthful or honest with us. A true friend is someone who will tell you the truth even when it hurts. Proverbs 27:6, fantastic verse. It says this, wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. I can't help but think about somebody who's always trying to say how wonderful you are. Oh, you're so great. Meanwhile, they have a knife. But a true friend, they look and say, you know what? I love you, brother. I love you enough that you need to get your act together. Willing to tell you the truth. Proverbs 27:9 then goes on to say this, ointment and perfume rejoice the heart. So does the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. As simple luxuries like perfumes and oil, life is made more sweet. So does the friend who gives counsel out of the deep wells of life's experiences. A friend who is a person who has earned the right to speak into our lives, who is willing to say things even though it may hurt us. They lovingly point out when we're off the track, when we're trying to justify our wrong behavior. They point out when we're moving toward a relationship that's inappropriate. They love us enough to confront us when we're compromising our faith, when we're neglecting our family, when we've lost perspective, when we're spending recklessly, when we're thinking of doing something foolish that may change the course of our life. This kind of friend that Solomon is pointing out is willing to tell us the truth, to stop and say, don't go there. Stay on the path or come back on the path. Get on the right path. This is the kind of friend who is so valuable. Valuable as gold. God wants us to be committed, lifelong truth tellers. This is valuable in relationships. It's so valuable. I can't help but think back at the internship when Judy and I were just starting out. She was in nurses' school. She was actually at the hospital as an RN, getting her training. And I was in the internship, and I was sitting down with pastors that were counseling us guys. There were a bunch of us that were there on staff. We were doing all the dirty work. We were in the twos and threes and in the nursery and all this stuff. And we were to make it fun and all that stuff. We learned a lot about ourselves. But I'll never forget the times we would sit down in his office, in one of the pastor's office, and he would just lay it on the line, and he said, "You're off kilter. You need to get your act in gear." I didn't like it. Connor, did you like boot camp? Jasenia, did you like it? No, it's not fun to be hollered at. And I didn't like being smacked around. It hurt me. I felt like I was kicked in the teeth. And, pastors, I didn't think you were supposed to have boot camp for pastors, but I sure went through it. And I must admit, there were times when I said, "I don't know if I like this deal." But I'm glad he did. I'm glad he pointed out my weaknesses. And you know what? He built the whole program of that year around my weaknesses. That was frustrating. I wanted to do this and this and this. And he says, "No, I'm going to put you over here because I'm going to make you so dependent on the Lord. You need to grow in these areas." Wow. I'm so thankful, though, that he was honest and the staff was honest. And then as we had interns, we would have sessions where we sat around and said, "Okay, what do you think about so-and-so?" Ooh, that was hard. I'm by nature, I don't like to talk about somebody other bad. I was like, "Well, so-and-so, yeah, he's a great guy, does a good job." No, I want you to point out his faults. Ooh, that's hard. Being truthful. Now, again, I wouldn't recommend you just going up to somebody here in church today and say, "Let me tell you what I really think about you." Not a good idea, all right? You need to develop the friendship before you start doing that, all right? But being truthful. It's kind of like, if I could use the illustration, I spoke on Friday at Bickford, and I'm talking about this matter of friendship with them a little bit. And I said, "You know what? If you had a spaghetti meal and you had some tomato sauce all over your face and you're walking around Bickford, wouldn't you like someone to be truthful and say, 'You need to clean your face up a little bit?'" You won't say it like that, but say, "You know, you have something on your face." But too oftentimes, we see something on someone's face and we don't want to, embarrass. No, I don't want to embarrass them. So we let them go along looking like a jerk the rest of the day, and we don't tell them they got something on their face. You know, a friend, a true friend, is willing to be honest, is noble, doesn't lie, doesn't try to put them down, doesn't try to find fault, but says, "I care enough, I love you enough, I want to help you." Proverbs 25, 18 and 19 talks about this matter of telling lies. Telling lies about others is also, it's terrible. Telling lies about others is as harmful as hitting them with an axe, wounding them with a sword, or shooting them with a sharp arrow. Putting confidence in an unreliable person in times of trouble is like chewing with a broken tooth. That's what the Bible says. I mean, have you ever tried chewing with a broken tooth or a tooth that's really got some problems? It's a pain. It also says, or it's like walking on a lame foot. So be honest. Don't tell lies. Don't spread lies. Don't undermine. But be honest and caring. Be noble. And then last, we have faithful, reliable, imitates Christ, is encouraging, noble. And D, again, a little bit of a stretch, but disciplined. Disciplined. By discipline, what in the world do I mean by that? Again, this is kind of a stretch, but it's the idea of being considerate. You'll see where I'm going when I show you the verse. We discipline ourselves to not be jerks in each other's lives. Proverbs 25, 17. There really is this verse in the Bible. It says this: "Let your foot be seldom in your neighbor's house, lest he have his fill of you and hate you." You know, it means don't visit your neighbor too often or you're wear out your welcome. Ben Franklin is noted for saying, "Guests, like fish, stink after 3 days." Okay. You know, if we're constantly demanding things in our relationship with one another, if we're being a pest, if we're showing up always at dinner time, though that would be kind of nice, I'd like to show up at your dinner time sometimes. If we're always calling, if we're always texting, if we're always, you know, if you're there, you know, someone comes home and you're always there at that time, it's kind of creepy, but, you know, your friends will start avoiding you. Obnoxious people don't have lots of friends. Can I use an illustration of this? On Friday, we went to a doctor's appointment in Skokie. And we were just getting done with the appointment. And I knew that I'd better get out of there because we were facing rush hour time. And it just takes a while to get home from Skokie. And so we go to near the elevator, and this lady is standing there. And she just says, "Hi," you know, and she introduces herself. And she never stopped. The best way I can describe it is I felt like I was being grilled by someone who's asking 100 questions. But she did it in about 5 minutes or 10 minutes. Well, it was about 10 minutes. But we got all the way in the elevator. There's people all around us. She's grilling us. "What's your name? What's your profession? Oh, you're a pastor. What kind of pastor is that? What kind of profession? What's your church like? What's this like? What do you do? What are your kids' names?" And this went on for 10 minutes. She was just hearing the answer, and she was on to the next question again. Just hearing it, and it was like, "Huh." And I normally can kind of put up with that. I've put up with a lot of situations. But I tell you, it was annoying. And I left my wife with her. That's what I did. But no. But what I did, so we got Jason, we're tending to Jason, we're trying to handle things. We say, "We've got to go, we got a long way home." And so she sits down and she continues her grilling, and then she pulls out a sandwich. "Oh, and what about this? Where are your kids? Where your kids live?" And she just goes on and on. I said, "I got to take Jason out." So I go out and I put him in the van, tie him up, and then finally I see Judy come out. And she said, "I'm surprised that you left like that. You're supposed to be a pastor." But you know, a true friend is considerate, thoughtful, doesn't wear out their welcome. It says in Proverbs 18:19, "An offended friend is harder to win back than a fortified city. Arguments separate friends like a gate locked with bars." Folks, we need to be smart. We need to be considerate. We need to be concerned about the other person more than just concerned about getting our agenda in. Speak to people. Smile at people. Call people by name. Jenny, I do know your name. I won't call you Connie. I'll try not to call you that again, all right? Call people by their correct name. Be friendly, be helpful, be cordial, be genuinely interested, be generous with praise, cautious with criticism, be considerate of others' feelings, be thoughtful of their opinions, listen, look them in the eye. I can't tell you what it means to have some of the people at Bickford for you to get down there and just sit in a chair beside them and look at them and say, "Tell me about your day. Tell me about the job you used to work at. Tell me about your wife, your wonderful wife of 56 years. Tell me about her." Folks, we need to be considerate. We need to be disciplined and be concerned about the other. But I want to close with this. You look at this list and it can be overwhelming. It can be a little bit intimidating. We try to do these things and we do the best we can, but I want to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ right now and say, He is the perfect friend. Jesus Christ, it is no problem for Him to be the true friend. He is the perfect friend. He is the only one who perfectly carries out the characteristics of a friend. Jesus is the great example of all of these. At best, we are failures, but Jesus never failed and will never fail us. He is referred to as the friend of sinners, and we are sinners in need of a friend. I'm so glad as I look through the pages of Scripture, I see people that are from all walks of life in terrible situations, in sinful situations, and Jesus comes along and people started deriding Jesus and said, "He's a friend of sinners, ooh!" And Jesus is over there loving on him, hugging on him, and he's pointing at the religious leaders who think they're so hot, and he says, "You hypocrites, you brood of vipers, Jesus, a friend of sinners. I'm thankful because I'm a sinner and Jesus gloriously provided salvation for me. He's faithful and loyal. We've read about it. We've sung about it this morning. He says, I will never leave you or forsake you, those of us that are His children. He told His disciples as He was ready to leave, He said, I'm going to go away, but I will not leave you orphaned. I'm going to send the Comforter to you. And He sent the Holy Spirit and all that the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, His ministry, praise God, is with us today. He is trustworthy, always reliable. He's considerate and gracious. And He was willing to give His all. He sacrificed of Himself for our sins. Let's be like our Savior. Let's be good friends to others around us. We may not have tons of close, intimate friends, but I trust that you're working at least at one or a few. Be a true friend. Be like the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're here this morning and you've never put your trust in Jesus Christ, maybe you've had a lot of people that have let you down, that have betrayed you, that have abandoned you at time of need. Trust in Jesus. He will never let you down. He is a true friend. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for the challenge from the book of Proverbs, from this wonderful wise man Solomon, who experienced life, experienced many failures, but as he looked back over, he has left us under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, words that would challenge us, encourage us, and that we need to live by. And I pray that Your Holy Spirit might give us the strength we need. Give us a kick in the pants to do the right thing. And where we need it, Father, where we lack, sure us up, encourage us, convict us, help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.